Get back to your place. Hope everybody has a lesson. Amen. The lessons are back there. If you didn't get one, now's the time to get one. Amen. Psalm chapter 119. And we're going to read verses 17 through 24 tonight as we look at finding wondrous things in God's Word. Finding wondrous things in God's Word. We praise God that wondrous things are available. Psalm 119, verses 17 through 24. Would you stand with me out of respect to the Word of God? We're going to read verses 17 through 24. As is our custom, let's read responsively. I'll read the odd-numbered verses. Would you read the even-numbered verses with me through verse number 24? Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Father, draw us closer to you. Conform us into your image through your word. Now we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And just a quick review of last week's lesson. Last week we had our second lesson here, so we continued our study in Psalm 119, following the Hebrew alphabet, and the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet is the word, well, the letter Beth is how we pronounce it in English, from Hebrew to English, Beth, by looking at what it is to be hiding God's virtuous and valuable word in your heart. And of course, we know one of probably the more well-known verses in Psalm 119 is verse number 11, where it says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." And remember here, the psalmist is kind of giving the test case of a young man. You know, young people, children, you have children. I know several of us in this room have children. Especially when they're very young, they are sponges. They are sponges. By the way, it convicts you a little bit, doesn't it? Amen. Now, thankfully, in our house, we don't use profanity. I promise you that. I'm glad we don't, because I've seen little kids in houses that did say what they heard. Amen. And they're sponges. And so, what a wonderful thing for them to sponge up the Word of God. Why? It tells us in that verse, in verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Okay? And so we talked about hiding God's valuable word in your heart. Two main points and then several little sub-points there. We talked about, first of all, the virtue of the word. The virtue of the word. And that's verses 9 through 12. We talked about how God's Word, first of all, cleans. Verse 9. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." How many times have we read the Word of God and the Word of God has cleaned something up in our lives? Amen. Many times. Not just reading, but listen, that's one of the primary purposes of preaching. Amen. The Word of God cleans. We have also there, it controls. "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." Wander carries the idea of drifting. What will keep you from drifting? The Word of God. The Word of God. Amen. And then lastly, under the value of the Word is, or the virtue of the Word rather, is it corrects. Praise God, it corrects us. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. What does it do? It corrects us. Thank God for that. Amen. So, the virtue of the Word, then the value of the Word. We looked at the value of the Word. God's Word must be proclaimed. With my lips have I declared all Thy judgments of Thy mouth. Listen, God did not intend for us to take the Word of God and just keep it to ourselves. Amen? He didn't do that. Amen. He told us, listen, a city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. You're the light of the world. Amen. You're not supposed to hide your light under a bushel. We've got something good. We need to share it. Amen. I think about this just in our lives. Listen, when you find something good, ladies, listen, ladies, you find a good bargain somewhere. I'm telling you what, the next thing you know, it's about the bargain, amen? Fellas, listen, fellas, we go find a good steak somewhere. We're going to tell everybody about it, aren't we? Hey, great steak over here, get you one over there, amen? But why is it when it comes to the Word of God we get lockjaw? Come on now, amen? Listen, the Word of God needs to be proclaimed. Amen. Secondly there, the Word of God needs to be prized. Blank line. Prized. Verses 14 and 15. I have rejoiced in the way of Thy testimonies as much as in all riches. All riches. And then, of course, it's proven. I will delight myself in Thy statutes. I will not forget Thy Word. Okay, so that's our review from last week. Today, we continue our study in this wonderful psalm by looking at the wondrous things that the psalmist finds in God's Word. And of course, that's verse number 18. He says, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And you see these interchangeable phrases, folks, here. Thy word, thy law, thy precepts, thy judgments, thy commandments. It's all talking about the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. So the first thing we see, number one, is the great opportunities in the Word of God. The great opportunities in the Word of God. First of all, number one there under that, if you look at verse number 17, it says, deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. God's word, first of all, bestows life. Talking about keeping the word. First of all, we could take that a whole different direction. Listen, you're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever, 1 Peter tells us. Amen. So certainly we could talk about our spiritual life there. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, the word of God many times will keep us out of situations that could take our lives. Many times. I think about that old preacher, Christmas Evans, born on Christmas Day. You know, Christmas Evans was, he was brought up right, but he went astray. And while he was astray, Brother Leonard, he got into a fight in a bar and had his eye gouged out. Got right with God later and began to preach the miraculous Word of God, amen, and serve God. But you know, he never got that eye. That eye didn't grow back. No. That eye didn't grow back. It was a consequence. And I'm going to tell you something. The Word of God bestows life. Show me somebody that truly loves and wants to obey the Word of God, and I'll show you somebody who has spiritual life and is literally creating spiritual life all around them. It bestows life. It's one of the wondrous things here that we see. Secondly, I love this in verse 18. It says, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And God's word not only bestows life, but it brings light. It brings light. You say, what do you mean there? There's all kinds of theological terms when we talk about the Bible. The first one we talk about is inspiration. inspiration. That is when God inspired the writers to literally pen the very Word of God. By the way, that only happened one time. That didn't happen with the Geneva Bible and the King James Bible and all that. No, God promised to preserve His Word. He inspired the writers one time. So that's inspiration. The word there in 2 Timothy chapter 3 is the word theopneustos. It's the word for God breathed. But I'll tell you a very important word for you and I every day when we read our Bible, aside from inspiration, is the word illumination.
Yeah.
To illuminate means to shed light on. And here, the psalmist is saying, open thou mine eyes, or if you would, shine the light out that I may behold wondrous things. Listen, God's Word bestows light, but it brings light. How many of you have, you're having your devotions. You're reading, maybe you're reading with a devotional, you're reading the Word of God. You're asking God to open your understanding and maybe even pray this prayer. It's a good prayer to pray, by the way. Open thou mine eyes, and may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And all of a sudden, you read a verse that you've read so many times. I mean, you've read it and read it and read it and read it. And all of a sudden, you go, wow, I never saw that before. It happened to me today. You know what that's called? Illumination. Illuminate. God's Word not only bestows light, but it brings light. It's one of the wonderful things about the Word of God. Whew. Number three, I like this in verse 19. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. It bestows life. It brings light. It bars loneliness. It bars loneliness. Here, David, the psalmist, if it's David, if it's Hezekiah, Brother Merrill thinks it's Joseph, amen. Whoever it is, the psalmist here is saying, look, I'm like a stranger here on the earth. By the way, I feel that way more and more every day. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Listen, the Word of God bars loneliness. No matter how lonely you are, you can go to this book and you can read verses like, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You can read verses like, I've been young, now I'm old, and then I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Why? Because God's Word bars loneliness. Number four, verse 20 says, my soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Fourthly, God's Word births longings. It births longings. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Meaning, you know what? We're not just satisfied with just a nibble of the Word of God. When you really get the Word of God, and listen, I'm not saying that there aren't days where you're not rushed, and I'm not saying that at all, but I'm saying there's a longing in your heart to know God and to read His Word. But the Word of God does that. Wondrous things, amen? Wondrous things. Great opportunities. Bestows life, brings light, bars loneliness, births longings. Number two, I'm hurrying. Not only is there the great opportunities in God's Word, but number two, the great opposition to God's Word. The great opposition. First of all, number one, we see the animosity. We see the animosity in verses 21 through 23. If you look at verse number 21, it says, thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed. We see here, that those who are domineering, is the word there, domineering, are cursed of God. He said, thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we live in a generation of no shame. No shame. And so much so, Brother Jeff, that they're taking the very Word of God and twisting it to their perverted ideology. I'm here to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. God, listen, the opposition, it's not getting better. There's outright animosity and public animosity. And I'm going to tell you, it is not going to get better in America. There's going to the shame that is going to come, the reproach that is on every other nation except ours is coming our way. And by the way, I hope with everything in me that we take this Christian flag and we would wave it high and bear the reproach. Amen. Bear the reproach for Christ. Why? Because God's Word says here that there's opposition. There's opposition to it. There's animosity. The domineering are cursed of God. Secondly, look at verse 22 there. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. We see secondly there, those who are disdainful are contemptuous of God. You have contempt for God. And I don't know what drives men to that other than their lost condition and a hard heart and a reprobate mind. Amen. Moves them there. But I want you to notice this is very interesting here in verse 23. It says, "Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes." So we have domineering or cursed of God, disdainful or contemptuous of God, but dangerous or controlled of God. Very interesting to look at verse 20. It says, "Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes." I think we see the sovereignty of God in this verse. There are times when God lets the evil have their way with the just, but it is always according to whether God says so or not. Hey, don't we know of other times? How about those three Hebrews? Amen. Went into the fiery furnace and said, "Brr, anybody got a blanket? Amen. It's cold in here." Amen. There's that other time where old Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, and on and on and on and on we could go, ladies and gentlemen. God, the dangerous are controlled by God. Lastly, number two, and I'll move through these quick. What's the antidote? Verse 24. We have the animosity. What's the antidote? The animosity's coming against us Christians, and it's moving forward, and it's marching as a mighty evil army. What are we to do? Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Three things, and I'll just throw them at you here. We're after 8 o'clock. First of all, the cheer of the Word of God. The cheer of God's Word. I've got several great books in my office. I have more books than I could read, and I keep buying more books. My wife says, "All right, you're not allowed to buy any more books until you read the ones you have." Amen. And I always say, "Yes, ma'am," and then I go buy more books. Amen. One of the greatest books I have ever read. I'm a slow reader. I could not put this book down. It's a book called Tortured for His Faith by Harlan Popov. He was a pastor in Bulgaria in 1948. And you know what happened in 1948 in Bulgaria? The communists took over. The atheistic communists took over, and they started rounding up the preachers, the leaders. Why did they do that? Well, because leaders encourage people. And leaders will tell somebody, "Thus saith the Lord." Amen. And they found him, and I'll tell you what, you read that story. They had, Brother Lem, they had little scraps of Isaiah that they had written and they passed around. And you know what that was? It cheered them. It said, "God's still good. God still wins." Yes. Amen. Listen, there's cheer. When the animosity comes, you get alone with God. And God will cheer your heart. Number two. Not only is there the cheer of God's Word, there's the comfort of God's Word. Goes right along with that. Amen. And then lastly, it says there in verse 24, "Thy testimonies are my delight and my counselors," the counsel of the Word of God. Hey, you know what? This book is a counselor. Hey, you know what, parents? You don't need Dr. Spock, you need Proverbs. Amen? Hey, you want to know about the origins of the universe, the origin of species? You don't need Darwin, you need Genesis. Amen. Amen. It's a counselor. I read books like Jude. And I'm telling you what, that counsels me. Hey, you know what? The Lord's going to come.
That's right.
He's going to come. And I meant what I said at the beginning, and He's going to set the record straight.
Amen.
Oh, I'm not looking forward to that judgment seat. I know I've done things in self-will and sins that I've committed. I know that. But I'm going to tell you something. That animosity against God and God's people, God's going to deal with that.
Amen.
Thank God for His Word. Wondrous things out of the law. Father, bless now is our prayer as we dismiss tonight. Bless in our invitation. We thank You for Your Word, Father. We thank You for its perfection. We thank You for its goodness. We thank You that it is a counselor to us. Pray that You'd bless. Help us to read it each day and meditate upon it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How about page 329, ladies? Bird.